Welcome to the Bitchipedia with Jonathan Chandler. I am your host, of course, Jonathan Chandler. And y'all, trying to record this episode, first of all, welcome back. Episode 2, what's up? Second of all, long story short, I went to LA, right? Because I had some shit to do. And you know, when you have shit to do, sometimes you just don't feel like doing a whole bunch of other shit. But I had shit to do because, you know, I'm a college student. Long story short, get there. It's a whole bunch of shit getting to there and then, like, just shit dealing with when I'm there. But, like, here's the thing. I come back, right? I'm back home. Near my school and whatnot, because I live near campus, and I'm about to record, and all of a sudden, in the little program that I use to record, it's like, oh, input not, you know, something about the input and output, and bitch, I'm not Jimmy Neutron, I'm not the IT guy, this is not the Big Bang Theory, I'm not the type of bitch that's gonna figure that shit the fuck out, usually, but y'all, I just went on to Google, search up this little nerd shit, shout out to the nerds, something called a forum for people to, like, figure this shit out, and I figured it the fuck out. So shout out to the nerds. Y'all really helped the real ones today. Y'all are the real ones. Anyways, this episode, I wanted to talk about the Bethany Frankel and Sharon Osbourne drama and why they are racist wenches and why they are jealous of black women, black people. They have a tendency to talk down to people and just kind of like that whole thing within the pop culture universe. So let's just start. Basically, last Sunday, I know it's already been a week since that big Meghan Markle and Harry, I'm about to say Harry Styles child, the Prince Harry interview. And I mean, wasn't that one hell of an interview? And that's on Diana, okay? So everything started, let me just back it the fuck up. So Bethany Frankel, if you don't know who that is, she's a washed up housewife, just kidding. She's a washed up housewife though, real shit. CEO of the Skinny Girl brand. She really, you know, I would say if you are someone that's familiar, you don't even have to watch Housewives, but you're familiar with Housewives, I would say the three people that you know, off the bat would be Bethany, in no particular order, Bethany, Nene, and Teresa. Because I would say those three have had, at least the first generation of Housewives, they've definitely made their mark. But, you know, you have your Candies, your Kenya Moores, your Portias. So, like, I'm not trying to, Erica Jane. I mean, you know, there are people that people know of, but I would say they are, like, the trendsetters for the shit, you know? But long story short, she left Housewives for a second time. And ever since then, she has just been unbearable. I mean, she's always been unbearable, but child, she has just been unbearable as fuck. And so she's been like a big critic of Meghan Markle. Why? At first, we don't know. We didn't know, but now we do know. And I'm going to get to that. But long story short, the interview was airing and she had tweeted something along the lines of, let's just go to it right now. This is so good. I should have it on deck, but you know what? Okay, so she tweeted at first, not since at Monica Lewinsky's interview have people been obsessed with a young female interview like this hashtag Mary interview. Don't nobody call it Mary except for this loser bitch. Like this Mary interview. Remember the famous lip gloss. So I guess that was something from Monica Lewinsky's interview. Shout out to Monica, by the way. And then someone said, who, question mark, did I miss the new hashtag for Meghan and Harry? Because that's the interview that I'm waiting to see. And Bethany, responded and said, I just made it up. Of course you did. That bitch think everything is a brand. I just made it up, but it seems to be on point. Hashtag Mary. I talk about this on my, whew, she talked about her podcast. I'm not plugging her shit here. I think she is the movie Poseidon Adventure. Think she is going to the top of the boat. Okay, first of all, bitch, keep her name out your mouth. Then someone responded and was like, no, like the staff has been super disrespectful to her. And she tweeted, cry me a river, ... the plight of being a game show host, fairly unknown actress, so oh my god, to suffering in a palace with tiaras and a seven-figure wedding with 2 whole years to being a household name with Oprah on speed dial, fetching $7 million for interviews, hundreds of millions in media deals, hashtag Mary. Basically, what she was saying was, cry me a fucking river, she, like, you know, did her do deals and whatnot. Sorry for the little ring in the background, but child, I mean, who really gives a fuck? But like, girl, like, mind your motherfucking business. She's so obsessed. I think she's one of those people, genuinely. I think she is genuinely one of those individuals that thinks all publicity is good publicity. And it's just not. It's just not. It's not. And I don't think she realizes that. Truly, honestly. Because if she did, she would understand that, like, sometimes we don't need to say everything that's on our mind. We don't need to say every single freaking thing that comes to mind. But she's one of those people that just thinks, you know, it's going to get me in the blogs. Blase, blase. Okay. Someone tweeted something at her. The tweet is deleted by now. But she put, in response to their tweet, I 100% give Harry a break. This isn't the way to generate less press and cannot be filed under the guise of wanting privacy to prevent a repeat of previous events. If you hate me for saying it here, don't listen to my podcast. We won't. We won't. That's why her mama don't like her. Anyways, so then she just goes on and on and on. And then she says, I chose reality TV to work towards making money, to be scrutinized and criticized. I took the trappings and the beatings along with it. It's a rose with petals and thorns. People beg to enter the often toxic institution I signed up for. That was the life I chose. You can't play stupid and smart. Okay, so let me just explain something to you. The Real Housewives in New York, we love it. Don't we love it? We love it. That's not the same shit as the fucking Royal Palace. Have you lost your goddamn mind? Have you lost your goddamn mind? It's not the same fucking thing, you idiot. It's not the same thing. Truly, honestly, where in your mind would you think it's the same freaking thing? And this is my problem with her. She has an obsession with people that have more notoriety than her. Like, it genuinely fucks her up to know that there are people more famous than her. Because she believes she could have been Meghan Markle. She believes that she's the one that should probably be in the palace. She's unbelievable. And this is why your mama don't like you. Your ex-husband don't like you. Your daddy didn't like you. Your stepdaddy didn't like you. And soon enough, your daughter won't like you, girl. Because you keep fucking with people. You genuinely always think you are right and you're not. And you speak down to black people. And let me bring this up. There have been several occasions, okay, of her talking down to women of color and black people. Point in case, she had Omarosa on her show and Omarosa made a very good point. White women can be mediocre and still reap the benefits of women and people in general that work five times harder than they do. Bethany had an issue with that. A black woman went to her conference. She had this conference, I guess, where she was speaking at, and told her, how do I deal with, like, basically asked her, like, how can I deal with being a black woman in this male dominated industry? How do I, I face inequality often. And Bethany said, I'm not so sure that that is true. Dumbass. Then she went on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, her bestie, and they were talking about the Real Housewives of Atlanta because I guess Bethany was binging it. And her mannerisms when she was quote unquote reenacting the show, disgusting. Disgusting. Let me explain something to y'all. And this is just me being real, okay? I am not the type of individual that likes to label people. I truly don't, because there's that can cause your career to be detrimented in a severe way. I would never just go ahead and just label anyone as, a bigot or a racist or a misogynist. Misogynist, I can't label anyone, period. Like, if I see it, I just have to say it because I'm not a woman and I'm not going to sit here and try to defend nobody. So if I see behavior that's misogynistic, I'm going to call you a misogynist, actually. I'm not going to try to justify that. Like, what the fuck? But point in case, I truly, truly, truly think this lady is a racist. I truly think she is jealous of other women. Like Ramona says, she doesn't support other women. I think that she is jealous of black women. I think that she has a problem with not being the most oppressed bitch in a room. I truly do. I think in her eyes, because she's been divorcing for 10 years, because it still ain't final, and I think it's her at this point. She's been divorcing for 10 years. Her mama didn't like her. Her daddy didn't like her. Stepdaddy didn't like her. The husband didn't fuck with her. The ladies on the show didn't fuck with her. I think she has this validity issue. And I think she's at the point in her life where she says, I'm just going to piss everybody off because I've never been liked or loved. She doesn't know how to show love. She's never been shown love. Let me say that again. She doesn't know how to show love because she's never been shown love. She's a sad, pathetic case. And I really, truly, honestly think she is a racist. I think she has a problem with black people because she's done this several fucking times. She apologized later. And let me just read you this bullshit apology, which I think Andy Cohen probably told her. And fucking HBO Max, who she's working with, and her fucking podcast company probably told her weird ass. She needs to shut the fuck up and actually apologize. But this shit wasn't even an apology, in my opinion. She put, I watched M and H sit down. Emotional distress and racism must feel suffocating and powerless. I am a polarizing, unfiltered, often to a fault, flawed person with a voice. When I heard of the interview during a pandemic, it felt like a surprising choice. I'm sorry if it hurt or offended you. Let's dissect this shit. Number one, you do not make an apology about you unless you are owning up to your actions. I am a polarizing, unfiltered, flawed person with a voice. It almost seems like she's saying that to up herself. Like, yes, I'm a polarizing, unfiltered, flawed person with a voice. Instead of, listen, I'm a polarizing, unfortunately, unfiltered, unfortunately, flawed person, definitely, with a voice. It didn't give that. It didn't give apology. Then to say, when I heard of the interview during a pandemic, bitch, don't you travel to Boston to go see that rent-a-nigga? Ooh. Rent a boyfriend. Can't say that. He is not a nigga. That rent a boyfriend that you got. Girl, I could say it. Don't y'all say it. Like, what? You fly there all the time. You and Dorinda was just filming that bullshit ass apprentice knockoff show. Like, what do you mean in the middle of a pandemic? Bitch, you haven't really treated this Panda Express properly either. So what the fuck is that? Why don't you just be real? Since you're always being real, why don't you just be real, B? Why don't you just say, you know what? I'm a jealous, pathetic, old ass woman. If you her age, I'm not really calling you old. It's just a read. Get over it. Build a bridge. Get over it. She could probably help you build a bridge. Old ass woman with mommy and daddy issues that projected my insecurities on this woman of color. Why didn't you say that shit? Or how about, why didn't you just shut the hell up and took you a nice old good old break if you was going to give this bullshit ass apology? Does that make any sense to you? Truly, audience, does that make sense to y'all? Does it make sense that she went out of her way to really just tear Megan the fuck down and then all of a sudden it's, I'm so polarizing that I just fucked up? No, you're not polarizing. You're racist. Let's stop using these buzzwords to replace racist. I'm a conservative person with a voice. I believe in free speech. You believe in being a racist. I feel like I'm just curious. I just want to debate it. No, you're just a racist. I'm polarizing a racist. You, Bethany, have a problem with black people. You truly do. You did not like the fact that this woman was going to be heard. I think in her eyes, she thinks that she deserved an Oprah interview. I think in her eyes, she thinks after all the shit that her and old boy went through that she deserves. When I say old boy, I'm talking about Jason. After all the shit that they went through, she deserved an Oprah interview. Girl, if you don't call the Drew Barrymore show and shut the fuck up and keep fucking women of color out of your mouth. And I don't give a fuck about the backlash I'll get after this. I truly don't give a fuck. She needs to learn how to shut the fuck up. Truly, honestly, it's the truth. Some people don't know how to shut the fuck up. They literally can't help it. It pains them to shut the fuck up. And it pains her to be a decent human being with a moral compass and not racist. This is the same lady that bitched at an Uber driver. No, it's true. Because the Uber driver didn't want to hear her damn child play the ukulele in the back of the Uber. Are you out of your motherfucking mind? You're truly the most delusional motherfucker I have ever come across. You are the epitome of privilege. I truly think you do charity work because you want to outweigh all of the bad shit you do to other people. Do you understand that because of this, audience, do y'all understand? Do you folks understand? Because of this whole entire spiel, people were coming out, going to Des Moines and coming out on Twitter saying how awful their experience was working with this woman. Do you understand? I don't think y'all understand. There were several stories. It wasn't one, it wasn't two, it wasn't three, it wasn't four, it was five plus people with a name. Okay, a name enough to know that it was valid, and a name enough to know, you know what, they probably would be, good if they didn't speak up. As in, they don't have enough, clout to just say something and nothing will happen to them. Those people are probably were probably in fear of getting blackballed if they ever spoke the fuck up. But see, where Bethany fucked up at is I think she's the one that's gonna be blackballed now. No, it's true. It's true. I think that she's the one that is gonna be blackballed. I truly do. I don't see people wanting to work with her after this. And if they do, they're complicit. This lady is just really a waste of space. Truly, honestly. Someone who just I would never want around me. A privileged piece of shit. A PPOS. Try that for a brand, dumbass. Anyways, I'm tired. Oh, and then something came out. I think she like wanted to date him, or she thought she was gonna date him with her jealous ass. Girl, chill, chill, bye. Chabba. I just can't. I can't. Anyways, moving along. So we have this Sharon Osbourne story. Did y'all hear about it? Let me just explain what happened and then we'll just get into it, okay? So Piers Morgan, someone else who is just a racist. I mean, I could say that. I could say that with my chest, okay? A racist waste of space has been a big, I don't even want to call it critic, because I think critic comes with constructive criticism. A big hater, a big loser, a big bitch. That's all of the things that he is. He encompasses all of those traits. He has been someone that has talked about Meghan Markle like a dog, like a big ass dog. Like he has really treated her like shit. And you know what's funny about both Bethany and Piers's like stories? Is I think Piers had went on like a date with her with Meghan Markle or like a friendly dinner and then she ghosted him. And ever since then he's been a bitter bitch. And Bethany, okay, thought she was just gonna be the princess, I don't know what, the duchess of what? The duchess of skinny girl child. And it didn't work out. Some people can't stand being rejected. Ain't that sad? That's so fucking weird. They're both like 90. They need to get the fuck over it. But basically, he came out, he was saying a lot of like hurtful things, and he tried to basically allude to Megan making up the fact that she was trigger warning, again, trigger warning. She was feeling like she no longer wanted to live. And because of that, he was given two options, and it was either get fired or quit. He quit, and Sharon Osbourne. Y'all know her, redheaded skank, married to Ozzy. Mind you, I usually wouldn't use these terms to refer to women, but if you're racist, I will. And I won't apologize for it. I won't. I just won't apologize for it. The racist wench, married to Ozzy, she is on the twuck. And they were having a discussion about it because Sharon came out and, basically stood up for Piers. And her co-host, one of them, was the former editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue. Her name is Elaine. I think Kariana Nava is also a co-host on that show, but she's no longer there. There's Amanda, and then there is Cheryl Underwood. Her co-hosts were just questioning her, and they were like, this guy has said some racist shit. Like, do you not think that what people are saying is valid? This woman, this is the definition of white fragility, someone who will weaponize their tears, and their rhetoric is so incredibly violent, yet they aren't reprimanded for their actions. She started crying. She was overly emotional. And Cheryl Underwood, a black woman, a black comedian who's hilarious, by the way, and just a gentle soul, she was telling Sharon, like, hey, like, she basically just wanted to have a conversation about it. Cheryl seemed to get emotional, and Sharon told her, "Don't you cry. I should be the one crying." And then she went on a spiel about how she felt attacked, how she felt as though people were labeling her as a racist. I do think she's a racist. And she didn't like it. You know what's funny? people have a tendency. I told y'all earlier, I don't like labels, but let's just keep it a buck, right? People have a tendency to not want to be labeled, yet they do everything in their power to deserve a label. Let me say that again. People have a tendency to not want a label, yet they do everything in their power to deserve a label. She does not want to be labeled a racist, yet she invalidated the feelings of the woman of color on her panel, the black woman on her panel especially, told her, "Don't you cry. I should be the one crying." That shit was violent. And then try to invalidate what the woman of color said in reference to her experience in the royal palace. Like, are you dumb, broad? Have you lost your goddamn mind? Has the red dye gotten into your brain from your fucking hair? Are you dumb? I don't understand white people that feel the need to invalidate the feelings of black people. I don't understand why there are some white people that feel like they can do any and everything to us. But because, let me rephrase it. They feel like they can say anything to us. And because we live in a country where freedom of speech is, you know, one of our amendments, they feel like, well, it's nothing. You can't get butthurt over words. I'm not physically touching you, as if words sometimes don't cut deeper than an actual someone touching me. Let me give you folks a story. I am a college student, and I wasn't always the best student. I can admit that throughout, you know, middle school and some of high school, I just wasn't the best. But when I got to college, I got my shit together. I went to community. I transferred, got 4 associate's degrees from community, transferred over to a 4-year institution where I'm attending now. And I treat school like a job, and I really do take my studies rather seriously. A teacher told me years ago, and I do think this is true, when you're in school, you have to become competitive. You don't have to compete against other people per se, but you need to become competitive within yourself. I like nice things. I like treating myself to nice things, but I like to feel like I deserve those nice things. If I want to spend, you know, $100, $200, you know, for clothes, if I have it, let me emphasize, if I have it, I will if I feel like I did well. But if I didn't, instead of trying to justify it, honestly, most of the time I just say, no, you don't need it. You don't, because you haven't done anything to work towards deserving that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But long story short, I've been at this institution for, let's say, 7 months now. Really good school, really good accredited school. It's one of the top schools in the state, and I want to say top 40 or 50 in the nation, definitely top 100 in the nation. I know that for a fact. But I had a recent experience that was really, really hurtful. And it was one of the worst experiences I've ever experienced in academia. And I can tell you for a fact that because of it, I do not have the same love for school that I had before. Because finals are coming up for this course. I was in a race course. I'm just going to call it a race course, because if I say the actual name, it's like one of its kind. So you folks will be able to search it. And I don't want that happening. I'm not someone that wants anyone doxxed. Like, real shit, that's just not cute to me. But I was in a race course. And essentially, the course was talking about how... I have to use the right terms. The thinkers of our generation, how they perceived race. That's the best way I can phrase it. I know that sounds stupid, but that's really what it was about. And in our school, we have 2 different types. I mean, schools have this, but we just call them different things. So we have a lecturer, our professor, main professor, and then we have a TA who holds a discussion. And you really come into contact with your TA more, especially because we're in the middle of a pandemonium and a lot of lecturers are doing their lectures online. You talk to your TA a lot more than you do your actual professor. I can say that for a fact, that I have been in contact with more TAs than I have been with professors. But this TA is white. It's a guy. He's actually, I didn't put two and two together. He's from the fucking UK. Explain some shit. Sharon, Ozzy, Piers. And I'm not gonna lie to y'all, he's always been incredibly suspect to me. He's always made these comments that have made me uncomfortable. But sometimes, I'm an overdramatic bitch. I can admit that. And so sometimes I'm a Scorpio. Let's be real. I look into the smallest situations with the biggest lens. Like, I am the type of person to make a big deal over something that really can be nothing. Because I just don't like nonchalant bullshit. I don't like passive aggressive bullshit. I grew up in a passive aggressive household. I refuse to be passive aggressive. So like, if I peep some shit, I gotta say something. But there's one other, there's really two, but let's just say one because there's one other black person in that class, and we'll like hit each other up and be like, "Hey, did you like peep how he said that during discussion, right?" And one day he asked the class, "Why aren't you guys speaking up? All my other courses," he said it with a little beans and toast, Cheerio, pip pip accent, but I'm not about to go into that. Let me just do it. He's like, "Why aren't you like, speaking up during class?" And that was so terrible, but y'all get the point. And basically, I wasn't gonna say anything, but I was like, I think he should know how it is. Because a lot of the reading, let me give you context, the reading was a lot. It's traumatic. We are going through one of the biggest social justice movements of our time. And as I'm already a black person myself, like, I don't really want to read about our trauma all the goddamn time. I already write about it. I already, read articles about it. I've seen us, not get the, justice that we are due time and time and time again. So sometimes I just don't want to read about how the modern thinkers of our time thought we were just trash. Like, I didn't want to really, I didn't want to read it. I would still, do what I needed to do for class, as in I would skim through it, but I wasn't necessarily going out of my way to participate in discussions as it relates to that. Like, that was just not my forte. It was just too much. But I did talk more than the other kids in the class. I will say that. Because, as you can see, I'm a talkative bitch. So I told him, I said, to be honest with you, a lot of this reading, like the literacy that we are presented with, it's racist. And as a black person, like, it's just a lot. I told him that. And he scoffed at me, smiled, and he was like, "It's weird that you're bringing your race into this." And I started shaking because I've never, ever felt more unsafe in an academic space before. And do you understand for me to feel like that in a space where everything that I just told you was virtual? This was through a Zoom call. For me to feel uncomfortable on a Zoom call? Can you imagine? Had he said that in person in class, I would have felt like beneath this earth, I would have felt like shit beyond how I already felt. I have an anxiety disorder. I deal with, eating issues. I deal with depression on a regular. I'm not someone like, if I get, and I know you guys, I know some folks hate the word trigger, but it's the truth. Like, if I get easily triggered, I shut the fuck down. I do. I can't, I can clap back at a bitch if I feel like, it's worth my time. But if I feel like this person is like really like super, super serious, it makes me feel, down. So I started shaking and I unmuted and I said, "Well, I just wanted to explain to you my perspective." Again, he scoffed and he said, "Well, I have stage fright. So I guess that I can relate it to that." Like, what the fuck? Excuse me. I beg your pardon. I just told you that the readings for this course are uncomfortable to discuss because the modern thinkers of our time thought we were dumb, had no culture, and were beneath them. And they tried to justify slavery in their reading. And you're telling me after I told you that, you're going to scoff, laugh, and you're going to say, "Well, I have stage fright." Why the fuck are you teaching the course? Why did you decide that this is the course that you wanted to help our lecturer, do? And that is why I'm uncomfortable at times with some, not all, I don't want y'all getting offended, but some white people being in spaces that discuss black issues. Because if you truly don't understand where we are coming from, get the fuck out. Do you? Like you said, freedom of speech, right? Do you? But don't come into my space where I'm supposed to feel safe. I'm supposed to feel secure. Do you know? Listen, I know I might sound like a tough bitch. Do you know how terrible that made me feel? I was in bed the whole entire day after. My friends were telling me, don't let that get to you. Don't let that get to you. And it got to me because this is the person that's grading my work. This is the person that I'm supposed to rely on, if I'm not understanding the material. And I couldn't even rely on them. I felt so unsafe. I've never felt more uncomfortable in an academic setting. Like, this is like the college is my job, okay? This is basically my job. And basically, one of my bosses told me, go fuck yourself. That's how I felt. And even after that, the lectures after that, it was still uncomfortable. And yes, he did email me to check on me. No, I didn't respond to that shit. No. I did email our professor, but I never followed up after she followed up because I don't know if they knew each other. I did not know if this was someone she was familiar with. And mind you, my professor, is a black woman. I did not want to feel as though I was putting her in a compromising situation where, because the course is one of those courses where you needed to, you knew what you're signing up for. And it is the truth. I did know what I was signing up for in terms of the material, but I can still have, my feelings. And so I didn't want to have to put her in a situation where she, I don't know. I didn't know if they were friends. I just, because sometimes some lecturers, their TAs are people that they are already knew about and whatnot. I didn't know. And I honestly just, it just made me super uncomfortable. Every single time I log on to that class, I feel very uncomfortable. Like, I just did my evaluation for the course. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I put everything that happened to me in that evaluation, and I literally was specified. I said, please do not read this to this individual until it's time to be done with our course, because I still have a final to do, and I'm scared that they are the ones grading my final. I take my academics very seriously. Listen, if you follow me on Instagram or anything, yes, I'm someone that likes to joke and whatnot. But this is really all I have besides this podcast. My writing, college is all I have. That is my space. To my space. It's my, space to be, to enrich myself in different topics and to learn on my own accord and learn from so many different scholars and lecturers. I mean, we had a scholar from my sociology class last quarter. We had a scholar from Egypt come in and, they taught us a course. I mean, that's like, I don't take this shit for granted. I know people aren't afforded education because in this country, unfortunately, education is a privilege, not something that you are handed. You know what I mean? It's not something that will come to you automatically. Even public institutions, you still have to have, a home to live in. You still have to have a good, home life in order to do what you need to do, elementary, middle, and high school, So like, some kids just aren't afforded a good experience in academia, and I want to make sure my experience is really top fucking notch because I worked hard to get here. I was stayed at community college. I'm a year behind my high school class in terms of graduating. I don't give not nan of a fuck because I'm doing what the fuck I have to do to get my shit together. But the point of this story, the reason why I told this story, is because there are words truly do have a greater effect on people sometimes than you pushing me or you punching me, because words will stay with me. A scar on my face, my shoulder, whatever, that can heal. It'll heal a lot faster than someone's words. I feel genuinely uncomfortable now, discussing black issues with people who aren't black. Because I've gotten so much backlash, and I've been told that I'm, a racist because I've said things about white people, and I've been told that my writing sucks, and I was just told by, as I told you guys, I told you folks, by this guy that, it's funny that you're bringing race into this. It's called a race class, motherfucker. What did you expect me not to bring race into it? Was I supposed to just shut my ass up? I'm confused. I'm very confused. So I say all of that to say, you as a white person should never feel comfortable invalidating the feelings of another black person, ever. Ever. It happens in the workplace. I'll tell you another fucking story. Godly, I hate that. I really, truly do not like the fact that I have all these stories. I worked at a grocery store, a very, very well-known grocery store. Let's just say it rhymes with Fader Hose. Okay? You get it. You get it? And I worked in one in West LA. And the area where I worked at had a lot of older people. In general, it was kind of like a suburb of LA. It's weird. It's a weird little area because there's Trader Joe's around it. There's like two other Trader Joe's around it, but like those have either college students or like, you know, a younger crowd. But that one specifically had a lot of older people that went to that store. I can't count on my fingers the amount of racist interactions I've had there. I can't. It goes beyond my 10 fingers. The worst one was when a woman confirmed that she did not want me bagging her stuff because I was black. Okay? Let me repeat that. The worst one is when a woman said that, confirmed basically, because she shook her head when my coworker was like, do you not want him bagging your stuff? Because she was making remarks before that because I was black, and she shook her head. She confirmed it. And I just let it roll by. I never really let it bother me, to be honest with you, except for my last month. There were, all of a sudden, I wasn't on a schedule within 2 weeks. And then I quit because that's just some bullshit. But we'll talk about that another day. Okay. I had so many to the point where I felt like I had a man tell me, my friend, this was now, I was, what, 16 turning 17, because I started working there when I was 16 and a half. I had a man tell me, why is it that, he's a white man, why is it that black men just don't stay in their kids' lives, huh? I said, well, my father's in my life. That's shocking. That's what he told me. That's shocking. And then he told me, I told him, my friend at the time, one of my closest friends at the time was, he was white and Jewish. And I told him that, and he was like, oh, well, when you go to the mall, they're not going to look at your white Jewish friend. They're going to look at you. They're going to make sure you're not stealing. Like, are you, what? First of all, you have a big ass bald spot, a big, like this man literally had hair on one side near his ear, another thing of hair near his ear, and then just baldness. So struggle hair, shut the fuck up, number one. Number two, you don't talk to a black kid that way. But guess what? In the situation where the lady didn't said she didn't want to bag my groceries, and in the situation where he said that, had I said something, I would have been reprimanded. Because guess what? I just mentioned how I was suspended, right? A woman told me, I was laughing with my coworker. She said, instead of laughing, how about you help him bag my groceries? I called her a pompous individual, and I told her, I don't have to bag anything I don't want to bag. And guess what? I got in trouble. Yeah, I got in trouble. Because anytime we speak the fuck up, we get reprimanded. So I'm not understanding Bethany's issue. I'm not understanding Sharon's issue. I'm not understanding Piers' issue. And I'm definitely not understanding that damn discussion leader that I had, that TA that I had issue. When black people are telling you their feelings, when people of color are telling you their feelings, fucking listen. You don't need to be a dick about it. You don't need to be the most oppressed bitch in the room. It's okay. This is not the oppression Olympics. I'm not winning a fucking award for my oppression, for the oppression that I faced. I'm not. Because if I was earning a coin for every time I've been fucking oppressed or been treated differently because of my race, bitch, I would be buying Bill Gates' life. Do you understand me? And every other black person, 99% of them could tell you the fucking same. So listen to us. How about that? How about instead of always feeling the need to run your goddamn mouth, how about you just listen to us? What makes you feel like you are better than me because of the stuff you are afforded because of your skin tone? You're feeding into that shit. Sharon telling Cheryl, don't you cry because of Cheryl. Because when Cheryl showed emotion of any sort, it was a problem. When Megan wanted to tell her story as a woman of color, it's a problem. But we could watch Bethany bitch and moan about her mama and her daddy and her stepdaddy and her ex-husband don't fuck with her every season on Roni. We could watch that, right? We could watch Sharon crying every fucking 5 seconds talking about what Ozzy's crazy ass is doing in that goddamn gaudy ass mansion that they have. That's okay, right? Stop always feeling the need to be the biggest bitch in the room. It's okay. Listen to other people and their experiences. It will help you learn. I've learned so much over this past year about different cultures and religions. And now I have a different perspective. Now I'm like, oh, wow. Like, this is something that actually can happen to other people. not to the extent that if we go through, but definitely something that could happen to other people, because I'm willing to learn, and I'm not the fucking cancel police. I'm not. I really despise cancel culture, to be honest with you, because I feel like we're not canceling the right fucking people because Prince Andrew is still around. Okay? Dr. Luke, search him up, is still around. Still making a coin. The fuck? Brandi Redman is still on the Real Housewives of Dallas. I feel like she should have been canceled. She's done a lot of other shit too, to be honest with you. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say she should have been canceled. Sorry, I just have to put that out there. She definitely should have. Definitely should have. I don't even know why I even hesitated for a second. She definitely deserves to be canceled. Here's my thing. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm the most perfect human being. I'm not. I have said some ignorant ass things in my life. I can tell you, as a 15, 16, 17 year old, I said some ignorant shit. I let people make jokes around me that I shouldn't have allowed. I fed into those jokes. I made jokes myself. I regret it 100%, but I'm taking accountability, and I've taken the steps to learn. I have. Oh, and by the way, no shade, I never went through no phase where I've degraded black women. I don't know why everybody goes through that type of phase. No shit, I never went through that phase. Can't relate to that shit. I definitely didn't like, you know, who I was as a person, but I always just hated on myself. I don't know what it is with people and having like a phase where they hate on black women. I don't know where the fuck that coming from. Anyways, I'm just saying, I've seen a lot of it, and it's just like, it was a phase I had. That's fucking weird. But I'm not the cancel police. I feel like people should take accountability. But how long, how many chances are we going to give? How many passes are we going to give? Bethany's had too many. Sharon has lived long enough to know better. Piers deserves none. I don't care if he becomes a fucking left-wing maniac tomorrow. He doesn't deserve shit. There are certain people that are envious of black people and the black experience because it comes with the oppression that they desire. They desire to be the most oppressed bitch in the room. They desire to be able to say that they've gone through discrimination. They desire putting us down, and they desire our beings. Everybody want to be black until it's time to be black. Okay? Everybody wants our culture, our, you know, when it comes to our music, our food, our fucking fashion, everything. But when it comes down to it, everybody's silent. Everybody just posted them a little black screen on their Insta feed, child, and all of a sudden they just Rosa Parks and this bitch. No, it comes, there's more to that. I say all of that to say I don't fuck with Bethany Frankel. I don't fuck with Sharon Osbourne. I don't fuck with Piers Morgan. I don't fuck with any other racist, bigoted bitch. I just don't. I just simply don't. And I don't know what needs to happen to them, but I'll tell you this. I truly think there are people who have genuinely mental issues that need to be figured the fuck out, and they do not deserve the platform that they have, i.e. Piers, Bethany, and Sharon. Okay? Anyways, bitches, it was a fantastic episode. Fantastic talking to you, I should say. I don't know if it's a fantastic episode. That's really, if that's how y'all feel. I ain't got no theme music. Oh, let me just put this out here. You know how, like, I love how I was talking about controversial people, but let's call a spade a spade. Do any of y'all watch Trisha Paytas' like YouTube videos? You know how it's like she don't edit shit? So, like, that's kind of the theme with the Bitchipedia podcast. Like, until I get the hang of it, there's no theme music. You're going to hear me drop things. You're going to hear a fucking, I don't know, car in the background. I'll try not to do that. That's so ghetto. But, like, you know, I'm a college student. I'm not, you know, an editor. I'm an editor when it comes to this, but I'm not some big-time editor. I don't have a media company that I just send this to when they do all the editing. I don't have any ads coming in to support my Patreon at the Bitchipedias and link in my bio at Jonathan Chandler _ on Instagram. That it's at Jonathan Chandler, JonathanChandler _ on Instagram. You can find the links to my Patreon there. But yeah, I do all of this on my own, so just bear with me, child. I have a cool series coming out It's very informative and it tells the experiences of women who have been mistreated in the workplace, in the entertainment and media industry. That's going to come soon. I also have an interview with Samantha Bush, aka Bravo Historian, one of my favorite people in the world. That's also coming sooner than the series, because the series I'm gonna like, I have to like edit and whatnot. Yeah, I have to be fucking Freddy from iCarly for that shit, chill. But I really hope you guys, you folks, see, correct myself, you folks enjoy this. If you have, I keep saying and I hate that. If you have any suggestions or any topics that you want me to discuss, let me know. But this has been the Bitchipedia with Jonathan Chandler, with your host, of course, Jonathan Chandler. And I hope you folks have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. Love you.